Welcome to Empire Building, where we focus on how to have a massive business and at the same time, an even bigger life. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to find the people to match your culture of your organization, as well as how to keep them, the ones that you want. And then if you do find people that don't match your culture, what you do about it. I'm Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazan.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole.
So let's dig into culture.
Yeah, one of my favorite topics, guys. I'm super excited about today. And for those of you that didn't tune into our last one on culture, definitely check it out. Today, we're going to be an extension of that and really figure out how to, you know, really get good people in your organization that match who you are and who your business is.
So, so last episode, we talked about how to define it. So we've already defined our mission. We've defined our values. So let's talk about how do we hire people that match our values and our mission and what we're about.
Yeah, because I think, honestly, it's the most important thing.
Yes, it is.
Your people are your most important resource.
Absolutely.
So you take a look at, you've got it defined, but then how do you get that on paper to then attract the right person?
Yes.
Because it's like, ethereally, we have the mission, the vision, and the values. But then how do you put that then into how then you attract that person to it? That doesn't know you, right? They're not inside your organization yet.
No, great question, Seychelle. For us, a big thing that we do is we have different ads depending on each of our values that we're trying to attract, not trying, we're attracting. So for example, the first one is being a team player, right? We talked about that last time, but the ad is all about the team. So it's a picture of the team. It talks about what the team's about. It talks about the different people on the team, the different roles that we have on our team, and then where they can fit into the team. So then if someone responds to that ad, they clearly want to be part of something bigger than themselves, right? Which is a team player.
And what would that look like in an ad? Do you have an example?
So first and foremost, the top has our team picture.
Okay.
So before it might have like one that's not on team player might have like just our logo or our brand, which is Debbie and I, my mom and I. But this one has the whole team picture. And then it talks about having fun together. And it has a bullet point. And I'm happy to share that in the
show notes.
The show notes so you guys can get an idea of that one. The other piece is for competition, right? And we had to really dig into how do you do an ad to attract someone
that's competitive?
That's competitive or wants to be part of it. And, you know, one of the things that was interesting when we posted, like, join the number one team in the DC metro market, we didn't get that many results, right? Because it wasn't. What I realized is people actually like being part of making some,
making
them a winning team. And so if they feel like they're already there, we notice that they go to focus on teams that are not yet there because they want to help make those into the winning team that are competition. So we looked at how to
the fastest person to respond to this ad gets a prize.
Good idea. We could develop it right now. But making sure that your ads are attracting the type of people that you want. Another ad, it talks about come join a team that's all about community and that shows the worthy causes we're a part of in the Fisher House Foundation race that we did together and things like that to show, to pull the people that are about community and giving back. So having different ads for the exact same position, right? Like of an agent partner.
That's
but having
really
different ads that speak to different people depending on who you're trying to attract. Right.
Something else we've done with that too is anytime we're having like a major team event, whether it's a client event, volunteering, like I know with Keller Williams, we have Red Day, right? Where we as a company give back. We have a videographer at every single one of those that does a wrap up or like a highlight reel of that that shows the culture in action in a video essence as well. And it's done really well for us from a recruiting standpoint because you can physically see what the people look like, what they're saying, how the fun, the engagement, it creates a lot of energy around it. Not something that's easy to plug and play into something you're already doing.
I think that's great. So I think it really starts with having an idea, A, knowing what your culture is, knowing your vision, knowing your values, and really understanding your mission. So without that, you're not going to attract the right people, right? So that's really where it starts. And then how are you communicating that to prospective employees, right? And there's lots of different ways of doing that. Social media is probably one. You know, I know for us, we post a lot on, we post a lot about our give back stuff. Because that's one of our values is giving back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I post a lot personally. And then also on our professional page, we talk a lot about that. And I know you do too, Seychelle. And I know you do too.
Yeah.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's a huge way of getting people to understand what your culture is. Because everyone who's going to be coming into your organization is going to be Googling you, checking you out on Facebook, looking at Instagram, all those things.
Yep.
And they're going to get a really clear idea of who you are by what you're saying about yourself to the world.
And that's not something that's super natural for me on social media. And so like making sure I systematize that to, I have someone that helps handle that for me to make sure we're telling our story.
Right.
So where they can look at my social media platforms and say, okay, that's what Sarah's about, right? She's about family. She's about giving back. She's about women leaders. She's about doing good business, right?
Yeah. And like being a great wife.
Correct. Yeah. And telling the story of what they see. And then you're going to attract a lot of times what you are, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But if you're not sharing the story, right?
Well, yeah. And I actually had one of our newest people that we hired, one of our newest agents, she just told me, she said, Wendy, you know, I was interviewing with several teams, several top teams. And she's like, at the end of the day, I chose you because of your giving goals.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. Made me feel great.
It makes you feel great. And then that's the one that most likely is going to be there long term because they're matching you're about, right?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing. Finding people that match what you're about and is really the hardest thing. If you can get that right, you can truly build an amazing empire if you can get this one piece right that we're talking about.
Well, and we believe that we can teach you anything you need to know in the real estate business.
Yes.
I can't teach you who to be as a human being.
Yep.
And so, you know,
you can to a certain extent. But not fundamentally.
You can impact behavior.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I have a desire to change who you are in your core.
Yeah, you can help teach people how to show up.
Right.
Yeah.
I can teach you how to show up, but I can't change your integrity. I can't change your morals. I can't change
your core values.
Your core values.
Well, one of yours was servant leadership and having a servant heart. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's very difficult to do.
Nearly impossible, right? You either care about others more than yourself or you don't.
You don't.
Yeah.
And when everything's going great, like you were saying earlier, right? Like it's easy to love people when everything's hitting on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. And when it's not and there's stress and that lack of servant leadership is showing up or that servant heart is showing up and everybody else is pouring in and that one person is taking, it creates a real rub on the culture.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so how do we, obviously we want to project that image out there. Mm-hmm. And then when we get people in our pipeline to start talking to them about joining our team, how are we systematizing that culture so that we can figure out if they are a match or not? What are you guys doing?
We put checkpoints in during the process. And so oftentimes I'm the first line of interviewing or screening that occurs after somebody has sent in a resume and they put through a personality assessment. And then after that personality assessment, I do the first screening interview and immediately
I do the initial screening.
And at some point that obviously is going to change. But right now when we're in rebuilding mode, I want to have hands in that process right now. And so the second part of that for me then is they have to call an interview with two or three of our team members.
But what does that screening look like? What kind of questions are you asking? Is that more informal where you're just chit-chatting with them on the phone?
It's pretty structured. I have 5 or 6 questions. We could even post it
in the show notes.
And you know, part of it really comes from the class here that Keller Williams teaches, right? Which is career visioning.
Right.
We believe in systems and models and we believe that others have lived before us. And so they have a really wonderful proven model of how to hire and how to help people self-discover in the process so that you're not selling and telling, but really you're asking questions to learn more about the other side. And so we really utilize those questions. We utilize that system. And we've put in, instead of a group interview farther down the line, we have them proactively reach out to two or three of our team members, and our team members literally make them chase them.
So let me get this straight. So your prospective candidate, you say,
I say,
you
Wendy,
need to call these three people.
Right.
And so what do you measure?
So I would say, Wendy, it's been great meeting with you today. Before we can move you forward in the interviewing process to the next phase, I need you to reach out to two or three of these team members. Here's their cell phone numbers and here who they are on the team. You know, here's who they are on the team and their roles. And the reason why that's important, Wendy, is because we want to know how you're going to treat somebody from our sphere of influence that's a client. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to proactively reach out to them, follow up if they're not being super responsive and stay on top of them, well, we know then that if I'm giving you my best friend from high school that's looking to buy a home,
so even if
you're not going to do that.
So even if even if you're hiring someone who's, it's not their job to do that.
I want every single person needs to be fast paced and motivated.
Okay.
So that's great.
I want, because even if it's, if it's a marketing person, even if it's an operations or administrative person, they still need to have great follow up and follow through.
Yeah. I'm testing
their speed and their motivation.
Great. I love that.
At that point.
I'm writing that down.
And my team slow plays them. And I tell them they are going to slow play you. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're not following up and following through two, three, four times.
Oh, you're telling the candidate that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'll be straight with you. I'm not, there's no secrets to it.
Right.
But I'll say, if you're not following up and sticking to it, then what's the point of moving to the next phase? Right. And it weeds out, I'm not even kidding, guys. It weeds out probably 50% of the candidates right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No,
so it's been very helpful because you're like, okay, well, that was easy then.
For me, I had to remove myself. Because my team says that my superpower is that I can see so much of the good in people.
Yes.
And when they can get discouraged about people, like I'm always like, but they bring this, this, and this.
Sure.
All I focus on is the good in them.
The upside.
Now that's great as like a team builder, as
absolutely,
you know,
but a leader.
As a leader, right? It's not good in the hiring, right? Before they're part of your organization. Yeah. So I removed myself.
That's great.
And now I have someone that focuses on digging in on the cultural questions to find out if they are a match before they even get to, I mean, typically now I'm meeting them at onboarding, the day of onboarding. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to the team to make sure that they fit in with what we do. I know, Wendy, you do a group interview similar to what we do as well.
We do group interview. Yep. It's one part of the career visioning process. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the group interview, I'm not there. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty far along at that point. I'm feeling pretty comfortable that this person is going to be a fit for our organization. And yet I let the team, you know, pretty much say yes or no.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am too.
And we make sure that they're a cultural fit by actually ask them questions around each of our values.
Mm-hmm.
So our values are be bold, lead others, live abundantly, give back, and have fun, and be authentic. And we have a question around each value. So like the first question is around our first value, which is be bold. Yeah. And that's what's the bravest thing you've ever done outside of work?
That's great.
That's awesome.
Do you ever make them put on the dinosaur suit? For the fun one? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your likelihood of throwing this dinosaur costume on?
I think that's a fantastic question.
Yeah, I think you should add it.
Yeah,
to
I think
interview.
You do. We have had people dance during interviews before.
Okay. So
hired.
Go. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 100%.
I remember when you guys came and visited my office, I was like, so they're really fun. I told my team, they're really fun. They're going to be late because they're all having fun. And it was true. Yeah. You guys were having so much fun together.
Yeah.
That's an awesome core value. I love that.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
So, okay, I know we got a little sidetrack there. But so doing the group interview, so asking questions in the group interview.
I'd love to just go back because I know we all have a very similar process for that interview process. What I think is interesting is about all of our process is it's not a 30-minute interview. Sitting down and you know, asking someone a bunch of questions, you know, just your typical interview questions. It's really, I think, what is it like? It's like a seven-step interview process. So you have the initial interview, which is what you're talking about,
right?
Yep.
And then we have
screening.
Then we have a proprietary
personality assessment, it's not a test, but it's an assessment, right? To understand behavior,
which it takes them about 45 minutes to do that, and it takes about 90 minutes to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do what's called thought process questions.
Right.
And the thought process questions are really what we're trying to do there is we're trying to figure out how that person thinks.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Which is really important.
Yep.
And I think most people don't ever think about that.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you thinking? How do you process information? Mm-hmm. How do you think about the world? Are you a big picture thinker? Yeah. What matters to you? Do you have integrity?
And I think the big key takeaway that I take away from that thought process interview is I'm really looking at what do you do under stress?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like that is the number one thing I am looking for in that. So I can predict when you are in stress, what's going to happen.
What we do is incredibly stressful.
Yeah. It is.
Every single
top 5 stressful jobs.
Yeah, every single position in our organization has a good amount of stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you go through the thought process, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, I think we all have life story. Yep. And then you have
the motivational interview. Let's break that down a little bit. Mm-hmm. What's the life story?
The life story.
I love the life story.
I love the life story. And I talk to people sometimes and they skip it. And I'm like, the things you learn in the life story, I mean, you start from their very first career and or college, right? You talk about the highs and the lows of that time of their life. Mm-hmm. And hearing their highs and lows, you learn so much about them. Yeah.
Well, they talk about what they learned from them.
Yeah.
Because you're also trying to learn how they think.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because everyone's going to have highs and lows. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's what you do with it that matters.
That's right. Are you taking responsibility for it? Are you a victim? Are you learning and failing forward? Are you staying stagnant? Are you moving forward or taking 10 steps back? What are you doing?
Well, the other thing that comes out a lot of times is like during that for me is when you're going over their life story, they many times will talk about people that have impacted them at different stages. Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful thing because that we're also trying to find, are we the best leadership match for them too?
Yeah.
Right now I'm taking leaders through the career visioning process, possible leaders in our organization. And so when you're doing that, you're looking at, okay, is my leadership style a good match for them? Mm-hmm. And they're going to talk about different people that they've had along the way during that time too.
Yeah, you really learn a lot about them. And then after the life story, we've got the
motivational interview,
otherwise known as future self.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years? Yep. And are we
match
for that?
Together?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're looking at not just where they want to be in terms of their career.
Right.
I mean, that's only one of the boxes, right?
Yeah.
You want to, they get to add.
They get to pick the boxes.
Yes.
Career,
money,
job, and then finances. Yes.
You know, and on the life story, another thing that I love about that is you get to find out if their significant other or their spouse is on board. That I listened to really carefully during that period too, because I've seen the spouse submarine success in the role almost more than anything else.
Yeah.
Well, I've even heard some people before they will hire someone, I think I heard this from Dave Ramsey, was that Dave Ramsey, when he hires someone, he actually goes out to dinner and brings the spouse.
Yeah.
They go out away from the work environment because I think he said, you don't know if you're marrying crazy or not.
Yeah.
We're doing that now with all of our expansion partners because they're such a big part of the role is having the spouse buy in, right?
Again, especially in our industry, which is extremely stressful.
Yeah.
It can be long nights, things like that.
Yep.
So after that interview, there's actually, this is when people involved in the process, candidates involved in the process are starting to feel like they might be interviewing for the CIA.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So many interviews, they just can't believe what they're doing.
Yep.
And yet this is when you explain to them, hey, guess what? You know what? Our culture is so important.
Yes.
You would not believe how important our culture is.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we have an amazing cultural fit both ways.
Well,
we want you to be happy.
Yep.
And we want the team to be happy.
And reminding them of the vision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've learned to remind them of the vision as we're moving forward to make sure that they understand what they still have buy-in along the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I always tell them the worst thing that we could possibly do to you is bring you into the organization and have you either A, not fit with the culture where it feels like a negative influence on you, or B, it's a situation where it's causing like a rubber band, right? Like extreme stress for you because either the role or the culture isn't a fit. And now we're wasting your time and energy and money-making opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we really slow play it in the upfront, which I know can be kind of crazy, but I promise you're going to thank us on the back end.
So what's next after the motivational interview?
After a motivational interview, what do we have? We have a group interview, right?
Group interview.
So that can be intense,
right?
I know usually on our team, people come to the office. We have anywhere from 5 to 18 team members, sometimes up to that. And sometimes we'll have our expansion partners that are like zooming in.
Yeah.
So it can be fairly intense.
Yeah.
And then we go around and we ask our culture questions and then really any other questions that kind of come up.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to see how they are under pressure.
Absolutely.
Because it's definitely a room that
And usually if it's on the operations side, we probably would pare that down a little bit.
Yeah.
That would be 18 people is a little intense.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. But for sales.
For sales, it's perfect.
High pressure. They need, they need to thrive in that environment,
and,
right?
And not skipping that is so important because I think we've all had situations where you're sitting in there and all of a sudden you realize maybe they've said one thing to one person and a different thing to somebody else and a different thing to somebody else. And if you're skipping that process, you all walk in thinking you're hiring somebody else, right?
So true.
Yep.
So true. Yep. And then after that, you dig into references.
References.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. They're not just regular references.
No. Right.
Yeah. You're
this
going
is CIA, 3D.
Yes. Yes. You're going 3D. What that means is that you're doing the reference check, right? Mm-hmm. But then you're also asking them for a name mm-hmm. of someone that they know has interacted with them. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to call them as well. And so making sure you're really digging in to finding people that have dealt with them and interacted with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like Gary says, or like Gene Rivers, who's one of my favorite teachers of this class, is he just talks about you need to find someone who's actually lived with this person.
Yes.
Right? Not in their home, but in the office.
That's so good.
Yes. Somebody who's lived with them day to day and knows not only the upside, right? But what is the downside of this person? And that's the point of that interview is even though, I've gone all the way to references.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And said no. I've gone all the way. And the thing is about that process is that I forgot to mention is that anywhere along those lines, at any one of those steps, you can have a hard no.
Yep. And it even teaches you on how to have that hard no.
Yeah, right?
Which is so important.
Well, how do you do that?
How do you opt out? No? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
what do you say?
For me,
you've spent several hours with them at this point.
Well, and they've spent several hours with you.
Exactly.
They've invested a lot of time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And so we always make sure that we're focusing on them. And it's not about us in terms of like what we've done and things like that, but making sure that we're focusing on them and honoring them for the time that they've spent, but making sure that they know that we're wanting to set them up for success something else. And focusing on that. And at times, I've even helped people.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I was going to say, so, like, that's huge.
Yeah, if they're not right for the role we're hiring them in or right for our team, directing them to where we think, because at this point, we know a lot about them.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we can direct them to a different team, a different role, a different business altogether and really help set them up.
And I can't tell you how amazing it is when you get to be a part of that process for somebody else and helping them along their journey, whether it's with you or with somebody else. That's an amazing opportunity to get to be a part of.
Yes.
And like we said on one of our panels, right? It has to be the right opportunity, the right person, and the right time.
Yes.
And it's so apparent when you go through this process, if all three are aligning, or maybe one of those is out of sync. And to your point, Sarah, which is beautifully said, you can refer them to somebody else that they're going to be a great fit
Absolutely.
For.
Yeah.
Because there's no right or wrong culture.
Yeah. No.
Right? Yeah. It's like you don't pass or fail the cultural test.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's just figuring out the best place for you.
Yes. Yep.
Right. Based on who you are and your needs and what you want at this time. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that sometimes people deselect.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it's a process where for the most part, it bonds them to you.
Yes.
Because they've never had anyone ask them.
No.
About themselves for 8+ hours.
Yeah.
It's just never happened to them before. And so you can actually attract a quality candidate through that process because they're very intrigued to keep going.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the process itself can be a way to hire a really talented person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn the conversation to really how do you systematize culture? Mm-hmm. And then also who are in most organizations who are sort of like the holders of the culture, right?
Yes.
I mean, ideally everyone, right?
Sure.
But who are the ones that we focus on even more, the most in our organizations on culture? Mm-hmm. What departments do you focus on the most for culture?
Well, I think for us, it's really the operations side of the business.
Yeah.
You know, I love my sales agents.
Yes.
And they're amazing and they make everything fun and interesting and they bring the business in.
Yeah.
And yet without our back end, without our operations, we would be nothing.
Yes.
You know, the operations for us is our systems. And the people that we've got in those roles is really everything.
I totally agree. Yeah. What's really great is that our administrative team really become our empire protectors.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
They uphold the promises that we make to our sales team. They uphold the promises we make to our clients. And they really protect what that culture looks and feels like.
Yes.
Yeah.
And And a lot of them have that instinct sort of in them. Think about like almost like the mama bears, yes. right? Mm-hmm. Mentality. And so they're in the organization, but they want to protect the empire. Mm-hmm. So they're protecting on who comes in. So sometimes they can be the hardest people in that group yeah. interview, mm-hmm. you know, right? Because they're trying, they're really protecting who comes in. Mm-hmm. But they're also the ones at the front lines with our agents when they're having a hard day.
Hard
and having some problems that come up yep. and reminding them, you know, like we're about gratitude and mm-hmm. aren't we thankful we have this client to serve? Mm-hmm. And if they go against your culture and your values of your organization, it's very difficult. I mean, that's if you look at the times that where we have failed, where we've brought someone in yeah. that doesn't match our values, when it's in a more operational administrative role, it has almost destroyed us.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. And so making sure, I mean, we're careful with everyone we bring in, but we take extra time
mm-hmm. we're the same
with
way.
Those that are mm-hmm. anyone on our ops team.
We're the same way.
They're critical.
Well, and I would guess, I would ask you guys, what are the things you're doing to systematize your culture?
I think first we had to systemize fun. Okay. I know, mm-hmm. Like I am a head down, go towards the goal. And when we hit it, I just am on to the next goal. Mm-hmm. And so systemizing fun for us has been a big part of that. So like we've put in now where we are planning, you know, our entire year's worth of fun that we're going to have in there. Mm-hmm. Also, our administrative manager for birthday gifts, we do when it's either your team anniversary or your birthday, she curates the gift for you. But on our team anniversaries, we follow whatever the wedding theme would be for the mm-hmm. year.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
So it's neat because when you get to your 10 and it's diamonds or, you know, yes, your five and it's gold that. Or yeah. copper or yes. wood. And so it's a really neat thing because then they get to look forward to like, what's it going to, you know, is it an yes. appliance? Is it something fun? And it's kind of helped us.
Is there an appliance anniversary?
There is.
Oh,
yeah. There
I didn't know that.
I think it's four.
I'm not. Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you get like a dishwasher? Or
that, or you can think about like an air fryer or are you like an Instant Pot. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
A blender.
Yeah.
Juicer. It's like dishwasher with Van Pool property.
I love it.
For us, we do the morning huddle, which yeah. is huge.
That's huge.
But giving back is a big part. And mm-hmm. so systematizing giving back. So for us, we do a team run for Team Fisher House because that's one of the organizations we support, as well as a radiothon for Children's National Hospital. But a lot of this comes down to scheduling, right? Mm, I yes. mean, what Seychelles said, yeah. what I'm saying, is it in the schedule? Making sure mm-hmm. that you're scheduling mm-hmm. each of your cultural pieces to make sure that you're systematizing mm-hmm. it as
and
you
what
go.
And I know we talked a little bit about your huddle before, but what does that look like? That's every day. Like, does a phone call go out? Everyone calls in.
Yeah, so we use a company Uber conference, uh-huh. And it calls everyone's phone number at 9:15 every morning.
Okay,
and I'm a young mom, mm-hmm. and so it's later in the day after I get my kids off to school. And so what ends up happening is that they call everyone's phone number, and we celebrate. We have a theme every day, and then we celebrate. I do a good news report because I realize that as we grow. A lot happens in 24 hours
right.
and we don't celebrate, right? Yeah. A team member might have gotten a 5-star review. And if that's before, we used to be able to go through that once a week, mm-hmm. you know, but it was like two yeah. reviews, right? Mm-hmm. Now we're getting two or three a day and they can easily be hidden if we don't mm-hmm. talk about them. So we do our good news report.
And your ops team reads this?
A lot of them I read. My ops team gives them to me.
Okay.
So has everything prepared. And then I remind them of the vision for this year, which mm-hmm. For us is to help 1,250 families. And so we go, okay, how many families did we get closer to serving yesterday?
Okay.
Love that.
And then I shout out the agents that got us closer. And then I ask who's working on a listing agreement, buyer agreement, or a contract. And so that gives the agents an opportunity to shout out, you know, what they have going on. Mm-hmm. And then I always end on some type of motivational, inspirational mm-hmm. note. And a lot of times it's like gratitude focused or to be honest, I'm very transparent about what I'm mm-hmm. struggling yeah. with or focusing on. You know, yeah. they all know about my health journey this year
yeah.
And how that's going because I focus on that. And then I tie it into to what our team's about. Mm. But that morning huddle, we really struggled with sort of systematizing culture before
I
that.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And especially with people in different locations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
that.
Everyone feels like they're part of the team. We start the day off all together.
Yeah. I love that.
And then we go out and make things happen.
I love that.
I love that.
Those of you listening can't see this, but Seychelles and I are like frantically taking notes.
I'll also post my schedule in the show notes.
Yeah.
Not for my co-host, but for you guys, the listeners, I'll post in the show notes.
the other part of that we've added, so I love how the structures that we probably are going to be switching up some of ours from Monday through Thursday. And Wendy, one of your words or values was vulnerability, right? And authenticity. And so we do Fail Forward Friday.
Yes.
On Friday. And it is, what is something that you are in active failure on this week that you're going to work on to not be an active failure for the next week? And it can be personal, it can be work, but we have an expectation that if you're growing, you're going to be failing somewhere. And it really has taken the edge off of, I feel like I have to look good and be right all the time.
Right. Yes.
And has allowed people to be more vulnerable and authentic with where they are.
I love
that's
that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great.
But well, really, I think we're going to wrap up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Today was an awesome session on how to hire people that match your culture, how to keep them, how to systematize them. Mm-hmm. And we really hope you enjoyed today's show and enjoy come back another time and listen to the next one.
Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform and help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.